So, Tim, the floor is yours.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, if you can't see what's going on, Kaya's ball of wool has escaped her hand. And now we're kicking it around. What we need is a cat to play with it. Would be a thing to do. Hey, if you are a part, Doug is like, you text so much, and then Doug is texting me during church this morning, right? Hey, Doug, nice to see you. Thanks for texting. So the first text is kind of important, because he says, just tell everybody who's in our group we're not meeting this week. So if you go to Doug's group, as amazing as life groups are, this week you get the week off. And then he sends me another text. He says, the urge to sing The Lion Sleeps Tonight is always just a whim away. It's like, you know, Newman, you wonder why we make fun of you, but this is why. This is why we do. And so, yeah. Hey, Claudio, you mentioned the Canucks and stuff. Like, hockey playoffs start this week. Is that right? You don't know? Right? I don't know anything about hockey. Are the Flames in? Did they make it? Or you have no idea how good this makes me feel, right? But if I've got it right, just nod if this is true. The Leafs are in, right? The Oilers are in. Did the Jets make it? Are the Flames the only Canadian team that didn't make it? That sucks to be a Flames fan. Oh, like roommate. Oh, this is beautiful. He's going to make me. No, it's actually my turn next week. But and then I'm gone, but that's okay. Yeah. Hey, you know what? I love being a part of City Light. We love being a part of City Light. We love the fun that we get to have. And just the journey we're sharing together. God's up to some really cool stuff. Elias and Natalie, congrats on being done your exams. Wow. So now Elias needs a job. So if you got a lead for him, he will do anything. He will do anything, right? I'm just being very, very, very generous with you and stuff. I commented, our kids grew up, our boys grew up playing baseball. So I commented on Elias's hat. He's got the big L, it's for Leritz Park. And I said, hey, what did you play baseball? Because why else would you wear a Leritz hat? He goes, no, I just saw the hat. I found it in a bin for $3. I said, do you know what it means? No, I have no idea. Claudio thinks it's soccer, but it's actually baseball, so... So there you go, Boston. I was going to wear my Padres jersey, but we'll do that next week. So we're kicking off a new series this morning called Extraordinary, because who wants to be ordinary? I mean, some of you could work a little harder at being ordinary. Some of you could work a little harder at being ordinary, and you know who you might be. If you don't know, your friends will tell you, or at least like look at you while we're doing this. But we're talking through for the next 6 or 7 weeks. We're gonna walk through what it means to live life with the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus, as he was getting ready to leave, started talking about the Holy Spirit, how he was going to work in the lives of the disciples, how he was going to empower them, and the great things that were going to happen, and kind of what it did is it gives them this upgrade, if you will, right? Not in a prideful kind of way. It's just more like it's the difference between a basic hamburger and like an A&W teen burger, but better than that. But it's just kind of this image. Now, so we're going to do this, you know, the seven part series on the Holy Spirit. And I got to tell you that I know what you're thinking right now. Some of you are going to go, great. Now church is going to get weird. Like, we've been doing really good. We're on a good run. People are excited. People are engaged. We're going in a good direction. We've got momentum. Things are good. And now we're going to talk about Holy Spirit and everything's going to get weird. I heard that. Everything's going to get weird. Hey, if that's you, I feel your pain. I feel your pain because because I'm a conflicted Pentecostal. I'm a conflicted Pentecostal because I love watching God at work. I love it when God shows up. I love to see the amazing things that he can do and that he does do and that I believe that he will do. But at the same time, the weird just pushes me over the edge. So I'll tell you, when we were we're living in Kamloops, we were probably 6 months into leading the church. It was a Sunday morning, and in those days we had to wear suits because if you didn't, people would get angry. And so I'm in the closet ironing. I'm ironing my shirt. And we had this thing that was going on in the church. It had gone on for years, like long before I ever got there. The same thing would happen every Sunday morning, going along in worship, you know, and it was different kind of worship than what we have here today, but going along in worship, and things are going on, and all of a sudden, you know, we're going to call her Sister Estelle. That's not her real name, but Estelle. Estelle would get all excited in her spirit, and she would go off, in tongues, and then the room would get really, really quiet. And then somebody else would stand up, Sister Tracy, and she would kind of just talk randomly, like we're just sort of meandering through the garden center, if you will, not really looking at anything, not there to buy anything, just kind of walking and talking along. That's sort of what it is. Nothing made any sense. There was no connection. There was no connection to what was happening with worship. There was no connection to the message. There was no connection to anything. It was just all completely random, completely chaotic. And it had gone on for years, but there was kind of some pressure on me to fix it. And I didn't know what to do. It was my first church, my first lead role, and I'm there in my closet, ironing my shirt, and this thought goes through my head: God, I wish I was a Baptist. My life would be so much easier if I was a Baptist, right? But then my Pentecostal guilt kicks in, and it's like, no, you can't say that. You're going to grieve the Holy Spirit. I was like, oh, now I'm really in a quandary. Like, we just get weird about this stuff. We get weird about this stuff. It's just kind of a crazy moment. Friday afternoon, I've had a really crazy week. We did our 18th annual MLA prayer breakfast downtown at the Hotel Grand Pacific. These are 18 years we've been doing prayer breakfasts. And yeah, yay Jesus. And it was, honestly, Doug was able to come. I'm not boasting, but it was like the best one we've ever done. We crushed it. We had committed. They didn't all show up in the morning, but we had half of the members of the legislature committed to come for breakfast with us that morning. It's the biggest response we've ever had there. That was amazing. And then after that, we did the Youth Leadership Summit. We had students from PCS and some homeschooler kids and some kids from St. Andrew's Catholic. And that was a full-day event. There was lots of engagement with members. We're getting great response. Like, that was all really incredible. And that was, you know, sort of at about 1 o'clock, I guess, I headed out to the airport, flew to Edmonton because I was invited to be a part of their provincial prayer breakfast there on Thursday morning. And let me tell you, we were at the Shaw, at the Expo Center, the Edmonton Expo Center, across from the old Coliseum where the Oilers played, where they won all those Stanley Cups. You know where that is. And so, you know, we're in there, and I'm telling you, I get out of the car, I'm walking to the venue, and it's like you could feel the conservative voltage in the parking lot. I walk into the place. And it was too early to text anybody because the breakfast started at 7 a.m. Nobody wants a text from me at 6 a.m. Doug, nobody wants a text that early in the morning. When it became appropriate, I thought to myself, there is more conservative voltage in this room than there is in all of Victoria. But it was fun to be there, and I got to meet some people, make some connections. We're looking to put a chaplain there, so we're kind of walking that through, and that was kind of fun. Got introduced to them in the Alberta legislature that morning and stuff. So Anyway, yeah, weird. So anyways, I was supposed to golf with my friend on Friday, and he texts me in the morning and he goes, "Oh, it's cold and I'm tired, so I'm not gonna go." I was like, "Okay, fair enough." But I don't know why, but now I have golf in my head, and I go to the driving range, and I'm gonna hit a bucket of balls, and I put my gear down, I get my balls, I come back, kind of getting myself set up, and I notice the guy beside me, and then he turns, and you know, his hair is a little whiter, and he's got a beard, and you know, there's some years are showing, and I called him by name, and I knew him from when we were living here previously, and I was like, "Hey, how are you doing?" And we chit-chat a little bit, and as I'm preparing this message, this moment in time flashes back to me that involves this guy. And so, you know, we were at Callwood, and we were doing a Holy Spirit series. It was Holy Spirit night. We're going to pray for people to receive the Holy Spirit, right? And so, again, right, I was a part of it, so, you know, I'm not pointing any fingers when I say this. But we all get weird, right? Everybody wears their suits, dark suits, because it's especially holy. We all wear our dark suits and ties. We're all very somber. And it's like, you know, I'm just, if you can imagine me 35 years ago, imagine how much more irresponsible I might have been. And so, you know, I just kind of crack a joke during pre-service prayer. And this guy turns to me and goes, "Let's not do that tonight. We don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit." Like he's some moody teenager who's going to go and sulk in the corner because somebody cracked a joke. It's like, really? Is this what we think of God? Really? Is this what we think of God? But I was just the lowly youth pastor, so I had no platform to actually say anything in that moment. The whole point is that when it comes to Holy Spirit, we get weird. We just get weird, and we get needlessly weird. And so, you know, some of you are asking, "Well, am I weird?" And you know, if you have to ask, you might be. If you have to ask, you might be, right? And if you're not asking, there's a chance you could be. But we get weird, and we get weird in a couple of ways. Number one, we get weird because we think that's what God expects of us, right? It's all cultural. It's all kind of Pentecostal / charismatic culture. We think that God expects us to be weird because that's what we see other people do. Right? But God doesn't expect you to be weird. Like there's really, you know, there's a couple of moments in the scriptures that all the weird people point to and go, "Well, this is what Holy Spirit does." But like 99.99999% of the time, he's not weird. He's not asking people to be weird. It's people who are weird. You want to say amen? Right? Number two, we get weird because we know that other people are about to get weird. Right? Oh, God, here we go. So-and-so's got the microphone. Lord Jesus, have mercy. I can't tell you how many times they're going, "Jesus, just come now. Get me out of this." Right? It's the worst. Like, when you're up here and weird things start to happen, because it's like, "Well, is that God? Isn't that God? Is that, so should somebody be on meds?" Like, what? Right? We get weird because other people are about to get weird, and really, who can blame you? Who can blame you? So we're going to establish this morning, kind of doing this by myself. Usually I talk to Doug and Claudio about it, but I know that it's going to be okay. We're going to establish the City Light weird rule. Are you all ready? Jesus isn't weird. Be like Jesus because Jesus isn't weird. Can we live with that rule? Everybody good with that? It's a City Light weird rule. Everybody good? Moving forward, it's the weird rule. If somebody comes to you and says, "I think you're breaking the weird rule," you know exactly what we're talking about, right? If you don't know, you can come back to this message online. You can see it there. It's actually called Weird. The title is Weird, so you'll know it's the one, right? Jesus isn't weird. Be like Jesus because Jesus isn't weird. So let's kind of, now that we've got that established, God's not weird, you might be. Okay. Once now that we've got that established, let's look at some biblical foundations. We're just going to walk through some things that are going to help us understand the who, what, where of the Trinity and the Godhead and how all of this works together. So you know, God is our Father, right? The Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, right? God the Father, we know from the scriptures, is seated on his throne in heaven. Nod with me if you understand that's true. God is firmly established on his throne in heaven. I have good news for you. If you care about this at all, it doesn't matter who's going to win the White House in November. God is still on his throne. Amen? Amen? It doesn't matter who's going to win the federal election. God is still on his throne. Amen? Doesn't matter who's going to form government downtown, right, this fall when we have a provincial election. God is still on his throne. Amen? Amen. Jesus is where? There you go, because it's nicely printed for you. So that was an easy win. You know, we had this conversation at our house. I said, where's Jesus? Barb says, he's in my heart. And she's not wrong. But really, he's seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And what's he doing there? He's interceding and advocating for us. Okay, so he's not judging us like Claudio wants to do with painting. Man, you're really getting hammered today. I gotta take my foot off the gas, right? But he's there interceding for us. It's like, Father, be merciful. He's messing up again. She's messing up again. Be merciful, right? Or he's advocating for us like, oh, look, God, look what he's doing. Dad, look what he's doing. She's doing. It's amazing, right? Holy Spirit is the active agent of the Trinity here on planet Earth. It's Holy Spirit who's doing everything. So in worship, right, we talk about experiencing God's presence, but we're experiencing Holy Spirit's presence because he's the one who's here right now. Jesus has gone back to heaven, right? And so we say, do we invite Jesus into our heart? We say those things, but from a technical perspective, it's okay to say those things, but from a technical perspective, it's Holy Spirit who is doing the work here on planet Earth today. That's biblical foundation number one, 101, right? So what does the Bible tell us about Holy Spirit? What did Jesus say, mostly Jesus, I've got one from Paul, but what did Jesus say about what Holy Spirit was going to do? Because that matters more than what other people say. I saw the funniest video, don't tell anybody, every so often I fall into a TikTok hole. And I saw this guy literally on camera going, I love the King James Version. It's the only inspired version of God, only inspired version of the scriptures. I can correct the Greek text through the King James. It's like, hello, what? What planet are you from? Right? What matters is what Jesus says. What matters is what Jesus says. What does he say? He says he's going to teach you all things. When the Father sends the advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything. And he will remind you of everything I have told you. Job number one of the Holy Spirit, he teaches us. He teaches us. Job number two of the Holy Spirit out of John chapter 16, verse 13. Holy Spirit guides us. Holy Spirit guides us. We have a weekly team meeting. But by God's grace, this is amazing to me. We have 16 people on our team spread across the country from Victoria to Quebec City. When they all show up on a Zoom call, there's a lot of tiles. We're like Hollywood Squares multiple times. And so it's an incredible thing to be a part of. But he guides us. And we were talking about this in our meeting and how we're just talking about how Holy Spirit helps us. And you know, one of the examples that somebody used is, you know, there are days that I walk down a hallway in a provincial legislature. And it's not like, because Holy Spirit's not weird. It's just like, there's a nudge. I'm going to go this way today. And I walk down this hallway, and I meet a cabinet minister that I've been working with. And he opens up his phone and opens up his Bible app, and he shows me the passage of scripture that he's wrestling with and asks me for my input. It's like, well, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool, because that's how Holy Spirit guides us and directs us. It's not weird. It's wonderful, right? Number three, Paul writes this in Romans chapter 8. Right? He's saying this, the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. Because let's be honest, sometimes we don't know how to pray. Some of these requests that are on this board over here are so big and they are so complicated. They're so heavy. It's sort of like after you say, God help, like what's left to say? Right? But he helps us and he gives us words and he prays through us. Paul writes with groans that cannot be expressed in words. And sometimes that happens. It's not weird. It's just God at work in us and through us. Number four, Luke writes in Acts and says this. We're going to hit this next week. Holy Spirit empowers and equips us. Like, let's be honest. The Gospels conclude with this message: go into all the world and make disciples. Make disciples. In another place, Jesus says, these are the signs that are going to follow those who believe. And you look at that and go, well, my life looks nothing like that. And it never will unless Holy Spirit helps us, unless we move along with him. So Luke writes in Acts 1 and 8, you'll receive power when Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, telling everybody about me everywhere. Some passages, some translations say, you will be, and actually the original Greek says, you will be witnesses unto me. In other words, you will watch me work. You will watch me work. We're going to unpack that more next week. So Holy Spirit empowers and equips us. Now, if you've got your phone, because this is a free QR code, is not going to last forever. But here are 33 more ways Holy Spirit helps us. So you can scan that. If you're waiting on it, look, I love it. Your phone's all come up. The technology is a beautiful thing. It's this beautiful thing. You can hit that. Do not read them later. Just hit the website and then keep kind of tracking along with me. Okay? Keep tracking along with me. Here's the thing. I've given you four. There's 33 more. And weird isn't anywhere on the list. Somebody say hallelujah, right? Right? We're making the point this morning, God's not weird, people are weird. Okay? Here's what I know. Here's what I know. So if you're watching online, or maybe you don't know, what I do in my other job as a national director for an organization called Leading Influence. We provide chaplaincy care to Canadian politicians. Most of my days are not filled talking to church people. Most of the people that I work with are not Christians. And most of them would get pretty weirded out if I started giving them a prophetic message and I framed it. The Lord's giving me a picture right now. They're going to run from the room. And if I ever started babbling in tongues, right, and then brought an interpretation, security would carry me out of the building. Okay, I know these things to be true, right? I know these things to be true. But Holy Spirit is given to help us in everyday life. He's given to help us in everyday life by partnering with us. He invites us. Hang on, I think I'm a slide ahead. Let me skip back. Let's go to partners, and then we'll come back to changes. So he partners with us. So I'm sharing this with a friend. Like, we were probably 3 or 4 years into this thing at that point. And I said, we're talking about spiritual gifts. I said, you know what? I prophesy more today than I ever did when I was a pastor. He's like, oh, that's impossible. It's like, no, like, really? Not a day goes by that I don't feel like I have a prophetic word for somebody that I'm working with. It's a security guard. It's a whatever. Now, do I do that? Do I do that kind of weird? Do I do that sort of in this spooky way? No, because I want them to talk to me tomorrow too. So I just go with the sense that God is giving me about something. It's like, hey, you know what? Or I ask a question. It's like, hey, how are things going at home? Well, actually, right now things aren't going very good at home. Okay, you know, would it be okay if I prayed about that with you? Like, would you mind? Right? And you just kind of unpack things with them. And it's not weird. It's just trusting the hunch and the nudge. And I'll say full credit to Barb. She goes, you have to trust the nudge and the hunch. That's Holy Spirit speaking to you. Well, thank you. After 20 years of ministry experience and, years of theological training, Barb's the one who dials me in. Trust the nudge. Trust the nudge. Can't go wrong with an ACOP girl, somebody say. Right? So Holy Spirit, he partners with us. He invites us into a working relationship with him. Built, I love this part, built on the gifts and strengths he's given us. So look, there's things that I'm good at. There's things that I'm not good at. I'll just be honest with you. I'm really pretty good. By God's grace, I'm pretty good at leading a church through a season like where we are right now. I know how to create momentum. I know how to create spiritual momentum. I know how to move things forward, set things in place. I know how to do that. But I'll be honest with you and tell you that a year and a half from now, I'd be at a loss to know what to do next because the church will need a pastor. Like, they'll need somebody with strong pastoral gifts at that point. It was a whole different set than me, right? Because my approach to pastoral ministry is come in, repent, get out. Not really, I'm kidding. That's not. I used to be like that. I'm better now, right? But he partners with us in this working relationship built on the gifts and strengths that he's given us. Right? He's not asking me to become somebody new so I can be right, part of his plan. And on the one hand, he transforms me. On the other hand, it's like I still have my gifts and strengths that he's given me. So he's not going to ask me to be the person who is, if my sweet spot is leadership, and it is, and if my sweet spot is faith, and it is, and if those are the two things that are predominant in my world, he's not going to ask me to give myself to translating messages or interpreting messages in tongues, because, well, that's just not my sweet spot. I'm just as blank as anybody else when that happens. Okay, there's things that we're good at, and he partners with us because he made us to do that. And what he requires of you and me is obedience and faith or trust. And he does all the work. Here's the thing, right? We see God at work, right? 18 years of prayer breakfast at the BC legislature. Yay, right? But you know what? 99.9% of everything we see happening with leading influence all across the country is Holy Spirit at work. I am the 0.001 that shows up because he needs a warm breathing vessel to work through, right? So I'm under no illusions that I've done this great thing. It's like all I keep doing is saying yes, and God just keeps showing himself to be faithful. So one, he partners with us. Two, he changes us. Okay, we're just going to go back one slide there. Thanks. He changes us. He conforms us into the image of Christ by producing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Now, we love this, right? Galatians chapter 5, right? Now, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, right? Patience, right? It all sounds so wonderful. Let me tell you that the conforming, developing of the fruit of the Spirit in our life is like going to the dentist for days at a time. It ain't no picnic. He's gracious, he's kind, he's merciful. But when Holy Spirit puts his thumb on something in our life because he wants to produce something in us, we just hang on, right? My best advice to you is repent early. Right? Just repent early and die to yourself and get it over with. Do not fight this process. It's less fun than it looks, but it's an important part of our lives. Why? Why is it an important part of our lives? Because Christ-like character gives us credibility. Christ-like character gives us credibility. And in the context of working with people and ministering to people within the church and outside of the church, credibility is our currency. Right? Oh, I love everybody. Yeah, but your life is a mess. You love everybody, but you're local. Actually, my friend in Edmonton, we were talking about this. He goes, just tell them they're wackadoodle. I was like, okay. I guess that's an Alberta word, I guess, right? Wackadoodle. Right? So we need the fruit of the Spirit produced in our lives because it gives us credibility. And when we have credibility, then we can speak and serve and minister with authority and trust. With authority and trust. Partners with us, I hit that already. Okay, last slide. Holy Spirit helps us in everyday life, okay? To change the world with him, right? This isn't, hear me. We've so misunderstood the person and work of the Spirit. We've made this all so weird and wacky that nobody wants any part of it. And yet, he is the agent that changes everything, right? Holy Spirit is not for me to get goosebumps on my goosebumps. Holy Spirit is not for me to have some kind of spiritual ecstatic experience. Not that there's anything wrong with having a spiritual ecstatic experience, but it's not the end game. The end goal is we change the world. We are transformed, and the world through us is transformed, right? Because Holy Spirit is always constantly doing that work. Any questions? Good. What's the Holy Spirit weird rule at City Light? Let's do that. Right? The Holy Spirit, yeah. We've got it, right? The Holy Spirit weird rule is this. Jesus isn't weird. Be like Jesus because Jesus isn't weird. Right? That will get us through a whole bunch of things. It'll keep us out of the weeds, and it's going to help. It's going to frame what we're doing here in the next 6 weeks. So pray with me, would you? Father, I come to you today in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for the gift of your Spirit who works powerfully and mightily in us and through us to conform us into the image of Christ, to resource us to serve and impact the world around us. God, would you forgive us for the times when we've settled for weird because we thought it was just what happens? Would you forgive us for being afraid because other people were being weird? Give us grace in those moments, but plant our feet deep in the foundation of your word and in the foundation of the character of Christ so that we can move past the weird and into the wonderful that you have established and planned for us. So we admit we need your help as we sort out our thinking. We need your help as we embrace new ways of thinking. And we ask that you would work powerfully and mighty in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen.